You're listening to the Radical Disruption Podcast with Maya Nicole, nursing student turned multi-six-figure online entrepreneur. Here we talk all things real and raw when it comes to entrepreneurship and what it really takes to get to the next level. Leave the small biz talk at the door and buckle up for the tangible, tactical, and actionable steps that will help guide you in building a disruptive business. Let's dive into the show. Hello and welcome back to another episode of Radical Disruption. Today's guest is Abigail Pugh, and she is actually going to be speaking at the Profit Mavens Summit in October. That's happening in Utah, and the tickets are down in the show notes if you want to come meet Abigail and I in person and have an absolute blast learning about how to grow your profits in your business. Then go check out those tickets. I would love to see you there. But here's a little bit more on Abigail before we dive into our conversation. Creating, marketing, and selling her own digital products, Abigail Pugh has built a $1.5 million business in 19 months with consistent focused work like money-making tasks every single day, a toddler at her side, and making it known that you don't have to work your life away to build a wildly successful online business. She has also proven that you can be your true introverted, sweatpants wearing, always slightly tired looking mama self and still build an incredible community and business on Instagram. Her simple yet tangible, no fluff frameworks showcase that you can really have it all and you can really impact more people, make more money, like a lot more, and live more of your actual dream life. I'm so excited for you to tune in today's episode where we talk all about making money online, specifically in Reels. So with all that being said, let's dive in. I would love to know, what is your entrepreneur story? How did you get started?
Yeah, well, actually, I've been an entrepreneur since my senior year of college. And I feel like even before then, I never had traditional jobs. I worked at Allstate when I was like 16. And I remember thinking, this is terrible. I never want to work at a desk again.
Yes.
So I was always like a freelancer. I did nannying, all these things that were like not traditional. But this particular brand was my second business. Actually, I used to own a floral design business for many years. But this one I started in 2022. My husband had had some strokes and he's fully healed now. I always forget that part. My mom's like, you have to tell people he's okay. My husband is doing well now, but it really set off this, okay, I need to provide more for my family. And I feel like I'd always been a very like right-hand girl. And I kind of took pride in that because I knew I could like go home and be off and be done. And I'm really good at supporting people. And if you guys are familiar with an Enneagram, I'm Enneagram too. So I'm very like serving others is how I show my love. And just like, I'm a very helpful person, I would say. So I kind of got in my head that, okay, you're just always going to be a right-hand man and you're just going to freelance and you're just going to help other successful people. So when my husband had these issues and we needed to like pay medical bills, it kind of forced me to believe in myself and kind of just go for it. And I started a TikTok and I didn't tell anybody. It was very secretive because I was very nervous. And it kind of just took off from there. I feel like once I allowed myself to kind of be the main character, which is very weird to say, it was just really fun. And I was able to really connect with people in a way that I felt safe doing so as an introvert. Like making new friends in real life is really hard. So I kind of just let myself become this person that was going to be a personal brand on Instagram. And I actually started my personal brand talking about UGC, which is user generated content, because I've been doing that like on the side for about 5 years, I want to say. Maybe 6 years. So that's how I kind of got started. And then I fell in love with digital products. I fell in love with the marketing. I fell in love with teaching people like how to create this content because I feel like you either have a trend brain or you don't. And I 100% have a trend brain. I love them. I think about them all the time. Like they're just very fun for me. So learning how other people don't have that type of brain was so fun for me to be like, oh, this is your niche. This is what you do. Okay. You didn't take this reel and you get into XYZ and I don't know, just kind of took off. And I think it's been 19 months now that maybe 20 now that this brand has like existed and it has been a whirlwind, but a lot of fun.
I love that. And the more that I learned about you, the more I realized how much you and I have in common. My husband was actually hospitalized. He was in a really bad motorcycle accident. Also, he's okay. I was good to say that too. Like, I think it was one of my very first episodes on the podcast. I talked about like my journey and my story, and I talked about him, and I had someone message me after, and they're like, "Is he okay? You didn't say." And I was like, "Oh, that's kind of important, I guess." Yes, he is okay. But that was like a huge catalyst for my journey too. And so I love that. I love that we just have so many different things in common. But something about your story that I love so much is your success. You've had a very, very, very successful journey building a $1.5 million business in 19 months, which is just like absolutely insane. And a lot of people hear that and they're like, that's not possible for me. That could never be me. But I think that your story and your journey is so relatable. And one aspect of your journey is how you built connections with people before you like jumped into sales. Can you talk a little bit more about how those connections have really played a role in your success?
Yeah, absolutely. So when I first launched like this brand, I didn't have a digital product yet. I had seen everyone talking about it. I feel like 2022 is right before they kind of blew up, right? Most people know what they are now, but I had seen a bunch of people doing it and I was like, okay, like I'll definitely have to add something like that in. But I really just wanted to talk with people about UGC and like see what they wanted. Like I said, I'm an Enneagram too. So I really wanted to see what people needed, because at the time there was only, I think, like one or two courses for UGC. And they were probably over, I think one was like 300 and one was four something. And in my head, I was like, people can't necessarily afford that. Like a 17, 18 year old who's like, hey, I want to be a creator and I want to make money doing that. How do I learn? Like, they don't have money for that. So I think from the very beginning, I just really focused on seeing what people needed and connecting with them in like a funny way. I've always shared like small pieces of my life. If you guys follow me now, you know, like I don't share my daughter's face anymore. I'm very select with what I share, but I do share like my goofy, silly side. And it really brings that out in other people. Like one of the things I share that is so silly is my husband makes me lattes, and he worked at Starbucks for like 15 years, but his latte art is terrible. And he'll just like guess what they turned into. And I share it on my stories and it's really just funny. People are like, no, I see this. And I'm like, I don't see that. And it's really just like a place to be fun and connect with people. And yes, I sell every single day, but I kind of look at it as serving and like, how can I make something better for them? How can I help them and create something for them instead of like, how can I make money today? It's like, obviously I focus on money making tasks. Yes. And I know if I input this, most likely this output will happen, but focusing on the connection first and literally just getting to know people. And I know it can feel overwhelming because now that like as my audience is growing, like it's hard for me to get to my DMs, and I love them and I love connecting with people, but I've done it since the beginning. And now I have ride or dies who buy everything I put out. They're just like, whatever, I'm getting it, I'm buying it. And like, I'm sure you have some, I've seen you, you have your ride or dies. And it's because I connected with these people first. Yeah. And I don't know, I feel like connection sounds scary and you're like, what do I do? You literally just share your life and people who relate to it and they see themselves in your story. Even like with my husband's strokes, there's so many people that their story isn't the exact same, but it's similar. And they're like, wow, to see that someone who went through hell and came back, like that gives me so much hope. So just sharing, kind of you sharing first opens the door for them to feel comfortable sharing as well. Because like if I didn't share that, no one would come to me and say, oh, this happened to me. This trauma, medical trauma happened to me. I relate to you. No, they'd have no idea that that happened to me. So really just sharing, not all of your life, because I have lots of stuff that I don't share online, but just kind of opening up first and then allowing them to feel safe to open up back to you.
No, I love that. And that's why I feel connected to you. Like I said, the more that I know about you, the more I'm like, wait, I have these things in common, even if they're not necessarily the exact same thing that you've gone through, but it makes me feel more connected to you. And I always like to think of it as like a friendship. It's like, if you don't have anything in common with this person because you don't know anything about them, are you going to feel connected to them? Probably not, right? And it's not to say that like you need to spend, you know, 1 hour per day with every single person in your direct messages. Like, obviously that's not realistic to build a friendship, but as we do open up and give little aspects of ourselves to our audience, that's what's going to allow them to connect with us. And I know that you said that, you know, in terms of like connection content, it is kind of just sharing your life. But can you give us like three specific things that people can do today to start building more connections with their audience? Maybe some just like general categories or examples of different things that you could share.
Yeah, absolutely. So I honestly think reels where you're introducing yourself and talking about yourself should be done at least once a month minimum. Cause I feel like people don't, they think everyone has seen every piece of content when they really haven't. And I love just knowing people's stories, knowing where they started. And honestly, I kind of have one that I use over and over again, like the layout of it, of the text. And I just like change little things about it. So literally just telling your story that is somewhat related to what you teach, right? Like I'm not going to go into all this like things that I did as a nanny in my bio, right? But I'm going to talk about things that like make sense in my journey as an entrepreneur, right? And then I think another one is using your story in your marketing. So anything that you're creating, Instagram stories, reels, emails, everything, kind of using where you're at in your journey to teach them something, right? Because the traditional content right now, or for the past few years that has been popular, like the educational, like three reasons why, people are burnt out by that. I think they're sick of it. So doing something like three reasons I did this in XYZ this month, right? Like talking about what you did. Cause then I'm like, oh, what did this person do? I want to know. And kind of making every piece of content reflect where you're at in your journey, because then you never run out of things to say, right? I kind of cycle through very similar things over and over, but it's updated content because my journey is like growing, right? Like I hit my first million in, what was it, 15 months. And then in 19 months, I hit 1.5, right? So as I'm telling pieces of my story, like I'm updating that information as it goes. So I really feel like people overcomplicate it and they're like, how do I tell my story? Like everything that you want to share with people. Like if something pops into your head, I want you to think, how did you, you know, apply that in your day to day or something like that? And then turn that into a piece of content. Because like I said, like then people can't really copy you as much, right? They can copy your concepts, which I love that. I love trends. I love that people see something and they're like, great, I'm going to put my spin on that. But it's so much more original because it has your story interjected to it. And it just makes life so much easier. I will say something else with that. I'm a big fan of in the beginning days, when you are creating pieces of content like that, use them in all areas. So like if you create a reel that's an introduction, do one in your stories, maybe the next day with a question box, letting them ask you questions. And then, you know, maybe later in that week, send an email, ask them to respond back to that email, right? Like you don't have to reinvent the wheel for everything. And that's still what I do to this day. I like take one piece of content and I allow myself to kind of maneuver it around in other areas. And it's just really fun. I think storytelling, it's become very popular this year and I don't think it's going anywhere because it's not a trend, right? Like it's your story and who you are. So kind of using that in your marketing makes it easier too. Like what did I do today and how can I apply that?
Yeah. I have a question for you that's coming up. What would you say to someone who is worried about sharing those aspects of their journey because they don't want their content to be so like focused on them? Does that make sense? Like, what would be your thoughts around that?
I think we're always going to be so self-conscious of what we're doing. But like when I go to somebody else's page and they have introductions or they have things talking about their journey, I'm like, wow, this is so amazing. I love that. Like I connect with them. Now, it can't be the only part of your marketing. Once you start getting testimonials and you have clients, you need to work your clients in there as well. People want to see both. And I think I want to see both. So I like showing both, right? I'm not just going to talk about my success because if I can't teach it to other people, it doesn't really mean much. But I think people, they want to know. And I kid you not, I feel like a broken record when it comes to kind of my beginning story. And still, every single time I talk about it, people are like, oh my God, I had no idea that happened. Right? So we feel annoying. And if you're not annoyed by your marketing, you're probably doing it wrong. You're not talking about your offers and your stuff as much. So just put yourself in somebody else's shoes. I always, when I feel self-conscious, like, oh, me, I go to a creator's page that I, you know, respect or a business owner that I respect. And I look and I'm like, okay, they're talking about themselves. They have to. And I'm not sitting here thinking, she's talking about herself again. No, I'm excited. I'm like, oh, that's so cool. I had no idea that was part of her journey. So you really have to look at it from somebody else's shoes and see that you are not like, there's nothing wrong with talking about yourself and your story. That's what a personal brand is.
No, I love that so much. And I love looking at it from the consumer perspective of, I think when we're so in our businesses, it's like tunnel vision and like all we're seeing is our own content. And we're like, oh my gosh, this is so repetitive. All I'm talking about is myself. But it's like, if we take a step back from like the consumer perspective, looking in, it's like, again, not everyone's seeing every single piece of content that we have. And like you said, it's good to be repetitive. And that was my second question for you along the lines of what you were saying is repetitiveness. So you said with sharing your story at least one time a month, but when it comes to other content, let's just say that, you know, we're talking about your content pillars or even just like repurposing content, like how Do you have like a certain strategy when it comes to repetitiveness? Is there such thing as being too repetitive? What are your thoughts around that?
I mean, I think there is, but it still works. So a great example, there's this musician, I can't remember, it's like Benson something, and he has this new song and like there's a sick beat drop in the middle of it. And he has created like 100 videos of him doing funny things on the beat drop and like making it a trend. And I watch every single one. I love it. And he's changing the concept, but like keeping the idea the same. And that's really what I try to do. So I have a series that I do. And every time I do the series, it's like three websites or apps that make me a crap ton of money, right? And it's fun. I love it because I can like change out the resources that I'm using each time, but I can like do it every month. And it always performs well. People love it. And I try and like talk about, you know, things that people are not necessarily talking about. And it's really fun. You're repurposing the concept, but not the actual video. Granted, sometimes I do the actual video. Like sometimes I'm, you know, if my daughter's had a rough day or it's just been hard, I do the exact video, you know, but that's never really planned.
Yeah.
But I really like the idea of like repeating concepts and just kind of like updating it. And once you know a concept works, you know, kind of being aware that like when you hear a new trending audio or something that would work with that concept, doing it again and redoing a new video and using a different B-roll. And I usually will keep the text the same, honestly. And there's this one like series of how I tell my story, and it has gone viral most times, but it always goes viral when my husband's in the video, which is so funny. It goes to his head and he's always like, oh, everybody wants to see me. He has a lot of fun with it. But it's really interesting to see that like when I do the concept without my husband in the video, like it doesn't perform as well. And I'm fine with that, right? It's not necessarily a performance thing. It's more just I like to tell my story and it works. But it's funny, like I have a recent video that went, it's like at 1.3 million right now, and it went viral very quickly. And of course, my husband's in it. I was like, of course, but it's storytelling and really just telling my journey. So it's fun to kind of repeat those concepts in different ways. So it is repetitive, but not like someone's like, oh, I saw this same video over and over again. Like someone who does this really well is Brock Johnson. He has one, it's on like color theory and using color theory in your marketing, and he'll do it. He recycles the concept like every month or so. And every time he does it, I watch the video because I'm like, oh, I didn't think of that approach, right? And essentially he's repeating this concept, but every time he gives like a different spin on it and presents it in a different way. Because you also have to remember that people digest information differently, right? Like I'm a reader. I want to read something. I don't love watching videos to learn something. I want to read or listen to it. Whereas a lot of my audience is different and wants different things. So presenting the concept in different ways, I feel like is the best way to be repetitive. And it's way easier.
No, I love that because you're totally right. I consume content differently than my audience likes to consume content. And so like if, you know, if I'm an ideal follower of someone else, like their content is probably catered to me in a different way than my content is catered to my audience. And I think it just comes back to what I call like people's learning types. They are different. You know, some people like consuming carousel posts or other people like consuming reels. And so we have the opportunity to take something inside of a reel and maybe turn it into a carousel post or maybe turn it into a story or maybe turn it into a podcast episode. Like everyone learns differently. And I think that we have such a cool opportunity to be able to present our content in different ways to be able to cater to different people's learning types. And I think that's where people get, in my opinion, in their head a lot when it comes to repetitive content, because they're like, oh, well, I already posted a reel about this, so everyone's already seen it. And it's like, no, that's not the case. Or you might have posted it and someone saw it, but they didn't like fully get the concept until you maybe sent out an email about that thing. And I do this all the time. Like one email per month to my email list is always something that's repeated. And without fail, every single time people are responding, they're like, oh my gosh, this is so helpful. And I'm like, but I posted a reel on that. Like, did you not see it? But people, you know, people might not have seen it or they just might not have understood it when we were posting it. One question for you on something that you were saying in terms of you have one reel with your story and you kind of repeat that over and over again. When you are looking at like how to repurpose a piece of content, what are like the main, I don't know, like the main concepts or the main things inside of that like piece of content that you're looking at to say, okay, this did perform well. I'm going to take, you know, this hook and I'm going to repeat that. Or maybe you think that the hook didn't perform well. Like, does that make sense? Like in terms of like pulling out different pieces of that reel to repurpose it, is it always the exact same? Are you looking at the call to action statement? What are some things that you're looking at?
Yeah. So usually for me, it's the text that I focus on, because with video, I kind of know like what matches with an audio and what will perform well. Like I said, I have a trend brain. I know what people respond to. And actually, I have a degree in sociology. And so like my whole degree was focusing on like the study of people and how they respond. And it's funny because I loved the degree because I never had to study. I literally, except for that, I had to take one math class. That was terrible. But I felt like I never had to study because it just felt like common sense to me. So I think my brain just like understands things better. So I feel confident like changing the video and like trying things. But for me, most of the time, it's the text on the actual reel or carousel that I am repeating. And then I try and do different things in the caption. So sometimes I'll test like a little bit of a longer caption. But honestly, with storytelling, like I want the story to be in the video. I want them to leave feeling like, oh, wow, that's so cool or awesome, like that happened to me. And then going to the caption and being told what to do. So I've tested both. And I feel like, especially right now, people are not burnt out on long captions. I still think they work. I think they work great. But if every single post, like everything is in the caption, I think it's a little much. I do think variation is important. So this one that I actually just posted last week that went viral, my caption is literally just comment the keyword and it's the automation. Because I tell the story up there, fascinating to see like that one performed better, the one that I'm like talking to them and telling them and like giving them a little bit more in the bio, because you can always give more context. And I don't know about you, but I am a context girly. I love like giving you all the nitty gritty details, but I know sometimes it can be a lot and people don't necessarily want to digest all of that. So for me, I really try and find like text that works and then switch up everything else. So maybe a new audio, maybe a new video. I mean, it's almost always a new video. And then trying different things in the caption, like a slightly longer caption with a call to action or a call to action that is not selling anything. It's literally just like asking them to share something about their journey, right? And I've actually had one of those go viral as well, where it was like the caption had no, it wasn't selling anything. It wasn't like giving them a many chat automation. And it was cool to see people like really wanted to give their feedback. I think those are a little harder for me because I take everything so to heart and I want to sit there and read everything. And sometimes just it's a lot. And I don't want to not be able to get back to people. Like it happens, but I really try. So those ones are just, I have to be like in the place to accept that, which sounds weird, but I'm very introverted and like I feel everything. I'm very empathetic and I love it, but it's a lot sometimes. So sometimes it's easier for me to just like, you know what? I'm just going to give them a freebie today. Or I'm going to do this because like I want to serve them and I want to help them, but I don't have the capacity to like read everything right now.
I love looking at that, like the way that you approach your content more so from like a capacity aspect. Like I've never really thought of it in that way of like, oh, if I give them a freebie versus if I have more of like an open-ended question where people are, you know, commenting. I love looking at it from the capacity aspect. I've never thought about it in that way.
Motherhood has really made me so conscious of everything because I love being in the community. I love hearing everyone's, I love sending voice notes. But at some point, I have to kind of protect my peace a little bit and kind of just be able to disconnect sometimes. So I've tried really hard lately to make sure that like anything that I output in the world, I know that like I can be there and support them if I'm asking them to talk back or like to give me feedback. And it's hard sometimes because I don't always get to everything. Like I have a question box that I put up last week and I still haven't gotten to it because I just haven't had like the capacity to sit down and answer these questions.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to just be like, oh yeah, do this or buy this, it'll teach you. Like I want to give them more information. I want to pour into them, but sometimes I just have to kind of wait until I have the capacity for that.
Yeah, I love that. We talked a lot about, you know, creating content that is very successful. And I think a lot of times it's like, okay, yeah, that's great. Like have a reel that goes viral, but what about actually making money? And something that you mentioned earlier when we were talking about how connection and building connection has really helped you to build a successful business. And one of the things that you mentioned was money-making tasks. And I think a lot of times when it comes to struggles around sales, it's because people don't know what to do to actually make money. And it's not just like posting content and just being like, hi, this performed really well in terms of views or, you know, a lot of people commented. It's like, yeah, that's great. But like, how can we actually make money from that? So can you walk us through some money-making tasks? And what does that actually mean?
Yeah. So my goal every day, I'm lenient on weekends. Like if I feel like doing it on a weekend, I'll do it, but I don't usually. For me, every single day, I want to do something in my business. I call them money-making tasks. I feel like you called them something and I really liked
what you said. Income-producing activities.
Yes, there you go. Income-producing activities, right? So something that I know this input will most likely give me this output. And for me, my favorite are reels, stories, and emails, right? And right now I'm about to launch a podcast next month. Like that will be another one where there will be things in there to serve people. So every single day, I'm making sure that I really try and do it as my first thing. It doesn't always happen. I have a 3.5-year-old. I'm like dealing with some chronic illness stuff. So there's a lot going on. But every day, I really try to do that first so that if nothing else in my business gets done that day, at least there is income coming in. Because I don't know about you, it feels good to make sales every day. And it really helps like keep my spirit up. And it just like helps me stay, okay, I'm doing this. It's working. When I'm serving people, it's helping them. I'm growing my business. So that's something that I focus on. And honestly, it could be a story where I share a review first and then say, this is the product they got it from. It could be a reel that has a call to action to a freebie that then has a tripwire that has a low ticket product for them. It could be a freebie that sells a direct, like directly sells the digital product. It could be an email where I do some storytelling. And then at the end, it's like, oh, hey, like if you resonate with this and you need XYZ in your business, here's what you can get, right? So it's not this like crazy thing. And for me, when I stop selling daily, it gets really hard to get back into it. Like I'm like nervous. And I know you've shared about this before too, when you like take time off and then you come back and you're like, my whole business relies on this one story. And it doesn't, but your brain convinces you that like, if this is crappy, like you're done, your business is over. And it's so annoying. So for me, like staying in the daily money-making test really helps. And I've kind of fallen off the bandwagon this month a little bit. And it's been really hard to get back in. Like I haven't been as consistent on my stories because I'm like nervous to post anything. So I'm like, what if they hate this? What if like, it's ridiculous. And once I get past that and I kind of just share, because there's like been a lot of talk too on things changing and people are like, you should only post 1 to 3 stories a day. And I'm like, I either overshare or don't share anything. Like there's no in between.
Yeah.
Kind of just letting that go has been very interesting and hard. But yeah, so every single day I do one thing and I don't really like once I have my podcast releasing, I'll obviously have that going out on a certain day. But I really try to leave flexibility for me because I'm a very like touchy-feely creator. Like I want to feel what I'm doing. I want to feel inspired by a video, which doesn't always serve me well, but for the most part it does. So I try and have like my emails planned each week and then going forward my podcast. And then the other ones I really kind of like pick and choose. And it's cool because I can see like, okay, if something is performing well, like let's say a story, I can see that it's converting really well. I'm like, okay, I don't have to post a reel later. Cool. I can kind of take a break for the day, right? And I can kind of gauge, you know, where I need to input more or where I need to pull back. Like this past week, I've had a video going viral, which means my content is getting pushed out more. I'm making really good sales. So I have slacked on my stories and it's been nice. I just kind of like taking this, oh, okay, I can take a little breather. I still know things are happening and working for me, but I'm not like feeling like I need to do everything at once, but it's very game changing to do these. And it takes time to kind of like get into that habit, right? Like I said, it takes me time to get back into it when I've taken a little bit of a break, but kind of just every day prioritizing those things first. Because like I said, like you feel good when there are sales coming in. Like I love aiming for $0 sales days. And like some days it's like $400 and I'm fine. Cause I'm like, I made 4 sales today. That's great. Or 5 sales, whatever. And I feel good. And I feel like, okay, I'm doing a good job. And it's a funny thing. You like want to pat yourself on the back, like, okay, my business didn't go underwater overnight. I'm good. So just having those tasks every day is super helpful not to fall behind.
No, I love that so much. What would you say to someone who's like, I'm not really sure what my income producing or my money making tasks are? Like, how did you find those for your business?
Honestly, they're the things I enjoy the most, right? Like, stories and reels are probably my favorite things to do. I love them. And then emails, not my favorite, but I know I need to do it. And I repurpose things for emails. So it's not that hard. But really finding what you love first and getting the hang of those first and then adding other ones. I think that's a big mistake people make because they're like, well, I'm doing 27 money-making tasks a week. And I'm like, but they're kind of, you're not giving them 100%. Like find one, make it work, and then add another one. So let's say you're like, hey, I love stories. I want to sell more in stories. Great. Focus on selling your stories every single day in different ways and figure out kind of your flow of things and then add on something else and learn a different money-making task. That way you're not completely bombarded with all of them. And I think it's important to find ones that you like, that you're good at, and then eventually outsourcing ones that you're not. I mean, like I pay someone to help me write my emails and it's taken such a load off because long form is not my thing. I love short form. I am like the queen of short form. And so writing a lot, especially written long form, is very hard for me. So kind of allowing somebody else to do that now. But at the beginning, I mean, I did everything and I still do a lot that I should probably outsource, but testing things, seeing what you enjoy, because it needs to be sustainable as well. Like there are some people where posting 4 or 5 reels a week is not sustainable. And I'm like, great. Don't make that one of your top income producing tasks, or now I'm going to say your way. Don't make that your money making task if it's not something you enjoy. So really starting with what you enjoy first and then like stacking more on as you go.
I love that. And it also makes me think about the 80-20 rule where it's like 80% of your results usually come from 20% of your efforts. And I think too, and I've heard people say this where they're like, oh yeah, I have like all this huge list of money-making tasks and I do all these things. And then they're like feeling overwhelmed because, you know, they may only get to like 1 or 2 of them. And they're like, well, I didn't get to all these other things. And it's like, where is majority of your results coming from? And so, and I think that comes with a little bit of testing. Like you're not going to know just right off the bat, like where a majority of your results are coming from. And so I think leaning into that 80-20 rule of like, you don't have to do it all. Really focus on the things that are driving the needle the most in your business. Because I mean, outside of all the things that you said, you know, posting on stories, sending out an email and posting reels as well. Like those are all, I would say that those are my top income producing activities or money-making tasks as well. But outside of that, I mean, we could talk about the importance of getting referrals and like having a referral program and affiliate like there are so many other tasks out there that could bring money into your business. And those might bring money into your business more so than posting on stories. It's like, you got to figure out what works best for your business. Now, something that I want to, I guess the topic that I want to make sure that we cover inside of this episode, because you are a queen at this, is making money from Instagram Reels. So you mentioned that posting Reels is one of your money-making tasks, yet so many people struggle with making money from their feed content, but specifically with Reels. And again, I think it comes back to, it's one thing to have views and to have engagement, and it's one thing to actually turn that into money. And that's not to say that every single post needs to be turned into a sale, but I think that it is very powerful. It's a very powerful strategy and skill to be able to have in your business. And you posted a reel recently that you shared how a client made, I think it was $1,600 in 3 hours from one reel. Can you break down that technique and strategy that was happening with that specific reel?
Yeah. So she is someone, she has a larger audience. I think now she's at like 110 or something. But around the time, I think she had just around 100,000 followers and she had done an incredible job of like nurturing them, but she never really sold in her reels. And if you guys don't know me, I really focus on low ticket offers. So most of them are under $100 for my students and myself. Sometimes there will be like something a little bit higher, but most of the time what I'm teaching, the strategies I'm teaching apply best to lower ticket digital products. So this creator, she was in my Rich Girl Reels, one of my offers, and we had a challenge. And one of the reels, it was very much so like, if you need this, comment this and I'll send it to you, right? And she had given so much value and so much for other content that her audience was just like ready to buy. And these types of reels work well when you have an audience that trusts you, when you have an audience that kind of just needs that like final push to buy something. And I don't recommend doing them all the time. It's not something like every single post needs to be this, but she had her audience like primed and ready. And I think it was a $37 or $47 product. So she made tons of sales to hit that amount. And I think the reel ended up making either $3,500 or $3,600. I can't remember. It was just under $4,000 was like the total she made from this reel. And she was like, I love this. Now, like once or twice a week, I can just kind of plug in one of these reels. Like maybe here's the problem you're having and I have the solution for you, right? And just presenting the product as a solution. And I think so many people don't do that. They either go one direction or the other. They're like, always buy my product, buy. And never, why? Why am I buying your product, right? Like that reel did really good for sales, right? Because I'm showing them like, hey, if you do these things, look at what can happen. And so it's just really fascinating to see her have such a great response to that and see that she needed to sell more. And she was like, wow, I have all these products that are just sitting around and my audience doesn't even know they exist.
Yeah.
And it was just so wild to see her get that kind of result. And now I think she posts those types of reels like maybe once or twice a week, but she does lots of nurturing in her other content, lots of storytelling. So these reels where you know, they tend to be on the shorter time. Sometimes it will say, see the caption, other times not, because I know like a lot of people get bent out of shape over that now, which is funny. And I'm like, if you need to put the information in the caption, great, go for it. Like, that's wonderful. Just keeping them very simple and to the point, but again, not making every single reel like that. I think there needs to be variation. And I think sometimes people are like, oh, well, you created this type of reel. And I'm like, yes, but it's not every single one. And I think there should be some variation, but you 100% should have reels that are so clear on what you're offering people. And then I know Maya uses ManyChat for automations and just like sending them the link and having them have this like, okay, great, this is what I need. I'm just going to buy this right now. I will also say for her and this reel, she nurtured her audience, and like my audience is very nurtured as well. So I see really good results from the reel as well. But like, I've been doing this for 19 months. Like, people kind of know what to expect from me at this point, and they know that they can trust me. They've bought other products from me. So it's not always, you know, immediately people are going to start commenting your keyword. Like, I had nobody commenting mine when I first did this. And funny little random tangent, actually back in 2019 or 2020, I was doing the comment this word for that for a company that I ran. I ran their account, and I feel like I was one of the first ones. There was like maybe 10 people doing it when people are like, oh, people just want this information. And it was like for a floral design company, and they did education. And I remember thinking, this is so cool, but I manually sent and replied to everybody. Not for ManyChat now. This is such a time saver and amazing, but genuinely, don't forget that sometimes your audience like just wants their problem solved right then and there. Like, you don't need to nurture in every single reel. I think that's too much, in my opinion.
No, I love that. And what would you say to someone, because this person that, you know, we were just talking about in this case study had 100,000 followers. Do you need to have 100,000 followers before you can start utilizing this technique inside of your reels? Is there like an indicator of like you have a nurtured audience, you're ready to start selling?
I think followers doesn't matter as much. I mean, I have a student who has like 4,200 followers, and she hit 20,000 in January and February with her low ticket digital products. Like, it's 100% possible. But I do think that there are ways to nurture before you start selling that still uses the ManyChat automation to kind of train people to ask for things, right? So I tell people all the time, like, if you're trying to build an audience, you know, take all these prompts and take these things and turn it into a freebie that you're giving them, because you really want to train them to ask you for things. And you do have to kind of train your audience to ask for things from you. And yeah, so there's plenty of ways to do that first. But I do think it's super powerful to learn to sell in the beginning when you do have a smaller audience, because it's kind of scary to learn when your audience, you know, maybe you have a big spike in followers. Like, sometimes it's really overwhelming. And so I always tell them, I'm like, learn to sell and serve when your audience is smaller. Like, it's so much easier. Like, when I first launched my digital product, I actually launched it over on TikTok. I wasn't even on Instagram then. I mean, I was, but not really. And I had, I think, 11,000 followers when I first launched mine. And I'm so glad that I didn't have the audience that I have now for my first one, because I made a lot of mistakes. I did things wrong. I, you know, linked the product wrong at first. And just like all these little things where I'm like, if it had been now and I was learning all that, it would be so overwhelming. So learning as you're growing is so much better, because you don't want to build this entire audience of people that never want to buy from you. That's another mistake I see a lot of people are like, I have 200,000 followers and I make no money. And I'm like, it's because you've literally given so freely your whole time, and you've never asked them to participate in anything. You've never asked them for like that feedback. So now if you sell something, they get all, you know, up in arms about it. I'm like, well, you kind of primed them to feel that way. You never said this, or they'll kind of build their audience on like, I give everything away for free. And I'm like, that's great, but that's not sustainable. No one can sustain that. And then when you do sell something, people will say, oh, well, you said everything was free. Why am I having to pay for this now? So starting from the beginning, I think, is so much better. And your following count doesn't reflect you and what you can offer people. And I think we've got really sucked into like, oh, they have 50,000 followers, they must be worth following. It means nothing. So really taking that into account and realizing that your audience size does not correlate with how you can help people. So just showing up as you are and showing up and saying, I've got 10 followers, but I have something to offer. Comment this word if you want it. And then you'll build the audience who comes to expect to do that. So that's how I've done it. And that's how I teach my students to do it. And I think it's scary because people associate selling with being slimy, and it's just not true. Obviously, there are like unethical, slimy ways to sell, but selling something is not slimy. I mean, we all buy stuff every single day. The grocery store is not slimy for charging me for the eggs. That, I mean, I mean, they're expensive, but right? Like, I will pay that because that's the price that they made them and it's not gross. I don't go into the grocery stores thinking, oh, they're just trying to sell me something. Yes, they 100% are. And that's totally normal. And it's not a slimy thing to sell.
No, I love that so much. Okay, I have one last question for you. If you could go back to day one of your journey as an entrepreneur and give yourself any advice, what would it be?
This is so hard because I feel I'm a very much so someone that learns by doing.
Yeah.
But I honestly would probably tell myself to make more mistakes quicker. I feel like I was nervous in the beginning to make mistakes because, I don't know, you don't want to make mistakes, but you want to try things. And like last year was my year of saying yes to everything and trying everything. And some of it was too much. And some of the things that like I agreed to do were just a lot on my body. And like I got through it and did everything, but really allowing yourself to like make mistakes quickly and learn more quickly in the beginning, like what you are kind of called to do and set out to do in this business. And I think had I done that a little bit sooner, I would have kind of figured out, okay, I definitely need more passive, less like hands-on everything. But like I said, I think everything, you learn from everything and every mistake that you make, really you learn so much quicker than just succeeding at everything, but like tiptoeing around everything. I mean, like I had a failed launch and I learned so much more from that failed launch than my launch that was 200K in a month, right? Like,
yeah,
you learn so much more. And I remember the month of when I failed at something so much better than the successful one. And I learned so much from it. So yeah, make more mistakes quicker.
Be afraid of failure. I love that so much. All right. This has been a fantabulous conversation. I've learned so much from you. And I know that everyone who's listening wants more of you, of course. So where can people find you?
Yeah. So I'm mainly on Instagram now, Abigail Pugh. I don't know. That's where I like to hang out. My email list is getting better. I'm trying to hang out there more. But yeah, Instagram is definitely where you can find me. I love it. You can come see my husband's weird latte art most days in my stories. Riveting content, I know.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for sharing all of your knowledge. You are absolutely amazing. And also, I should say, if you want to come meet both of us in person, we are going to be at the Profit Maven Summit in Utah in October. So you can come meet both of us. But thank you so much again for sharing your knowledge with us and being here.
If this episode has served you in any way, I'd love it if you shared what you've learned, any aha moments that you may have had, or something that you loved, and tag me on Instagram at Maya Nicole. And if you haven't already, hit the subscribe button and leave a 5-star review so that we can continue to learn and grow together. Thank you so much for your support. I love you, and I'll talk to you in the next episode.